Proverbs 4, beginning in verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Let's pray together and ask God's help again. Father, we thank you, Lord, that all that we need to know for life and godliness is contained here in your Word. Father, we thank you that your Word is infallible, is inerrant, that every word, every syllable, every jot, every tittle is breathed out by you, that we are reading the very words of God, that you spoke to us out loud just now. We heard from God directly. And Father, we praise you for that. We praise you. And we pray, Lord, you would meet with us by the Spirit. You would apply this word to our heart. Father, we pray if there's anyone here today with us that does not know you, God, we ask today you would awaken them, cause them to be born again, set them on the way of righteousness, the way of wisdom, the way to Jesus. And so, God, come and act for Christ's sake. And all God's people said, amen. In chapter 4 and throughout the book of Proverbs and throughout the Scripture, we see that there are two ways to live. There is the right way, the way of wisdom, the way of following Christ, and then there's the wrong way, the way of foolishness, the way away from Christ, denying Him. And I want to emphasize, as we begin this morning, that the right way is the happiest way. The right way is the happiest way. I'm not calling you to wisdom and God's law and God's word to be a drudgery. Oh, I've got to go hear what the pastor says from the Bible and I have to do this and do what he says and oh, so boring. No! No. If you're awakened, if you're awakened to the Spirit of God and the Word of God and you're born again, friend, this, for anyone, if this is the best way, whether you're born again or not, this is the best way, but you will be bored if you're not born again. you'll be like I was when I was 18 and can we just get over? I want to watch the game. I want to watch the game. Men, adult men playing with a pigskin is what fills my heart with joy. Isn't that a sad thing? We get so excited, but not. We don't get so excited about the eternal, huge, big realities of life, like God and His glory and His beauty and Christ and the cross, you see. I one of my prayers is that you and I would fall more and more out of what the world gets so excited about and be ravished with Jesus and the cross and His death and resurrection and salvation from sin, you see. And so when we preach the Word of God, this is not boring. Giving you God's commands are not boring. They're the way to life. They are the most happiest way that you could live. The most joyful way that you can live is the way of wisdom. The most satisfying, fulfilling way is the way of wisdom. The most pleasurable way is the way of wisdom, to follow Christ. And friend, if you're here today and you're like, no, I'm actually the person that's bored. I mean, I know that you're here in a crowd this size. You need to beg God. First of all, you need to be honest and say, actually, Pastor's pretty right. I'm usually bored when I'm here. And I can't wait to go do what I'm going to do later. Friend, you need to beg God to open your eyes. Because you may be on your way to hell. You see. Because Christians don't get bored with God. They don't get bored with God. And so pray. Say, Lord, I am in a world of hurt. Because most of the time I'm here, I'm bored. When I read the Bible, I'm bored. I don't understand it. Actually, God, I hardly ever read the Bible outside of this church. Friend, you need to beg God to give you spiritual life. Beg Him. Say, the pastor, what he's saying is true of me, and I need to be saved. I need to be born again. Lord, breathe on me Your Spirit and awaken me to the beauty of Jesus. So friend, if that's you, I love you. But pray, beg God to open your eyes that the way of Christ is the most glorious, happiest, joyful, fulfilling, pleasurable way. Proverbs 8:32, happy is the man who listens to me. Happy is the man, blessed is the man, filled with joy is the man who listens to me. And wisdom is speaking, and wisdom is Christ. All the treasures of knowledge and wisdom are in Christ. And so we are to work hard for joy in Christ. And from last week, I wanted to read to you one commentator's translation of the last one of the verses we covered last week, the last verse, Proverbs 4:13. Be determined to discipline. Be determined in discipline. Don't slack off. Protect it, for it is your life. So we need to, like an Olympic athlete, right, who trains from sun up to sun down, disciplines their body, works hard. We need to work hard to find joy and happiness in God. We need to work hard to keep wisdom, to give our life to getting wisdom, to knowing Christ, to seeking Him. We need to work hard at it. God is not against hard work. Sweat. When you don't want to get up, you tell that flesh, die. I'm getting up. I'm getting in the Bible. I'm reading. You see, God loves hard work. And Paul said, I work harder than anyone. But not I, the grace of God that was in me. And so hard human exertion is not contrary to God's grace, you see. And so we work hard to find joy in Christ, to get wisdom, to know wisdom, to walk in the path of wisdom. And Proverbs emphasizes, and we're going to get more into this in the following weeks, Proverbs emphasizes that we seek Christ in all of life, in all of life. And so often we think, well, I seek Christ in prayer, and I seek Christ in my Bible reading, and in Bible study, and I seek Christ at church, and in my more Christian service, when I'm out evangelizing, I'm seeking Christ or doing the work of the Lord. And you should be. But you see, Proverbs teaches that things we normally don't think about have to do with Jesus, have to do with Jesus. Namely, everything. Namely, everything has to do with Jesus. And if we have a problem in life, it's because we in some way have a problem with Jesus. You see, Jesus cares about how you talk to that annoying coworker. He cares about that. And so we can get our praise on in our quiet time and then go to work. And Jesus is actually a lot more concerned about how you treat that coworker than how many tears you cried in your quiet time and how excited you got. You see? That's what shows spirituality. When your coworker says something very mean and nasty to them and you say, I love you. You see? And God willing, our quiet time would so be used of God to work in our hearts that we might say that at work. You see, Jesus cares about those things. He cares about how you spend your money. Every penny. He cares about how you spend your money. We'll see this throughout the book of Proverbs. He cares about every word that comes from your mouth. He cares how you parent your children. He cares about your work ethic. He cares about how you relate to authority. He cares about your life in your bedroom. He cares about telling the truth. So Proverbs is about, it's showing us that God cares about all of these things. All of these things have to do with seeking Christ, loving Christ, knowing Christ. And the more we know Him, the more His beautiful aroma will permeate all of our lives and everything that we do. And so again, we come to this great path, these two paths, the path of the wicked and the path of the righteous. So let's first look at the path of the wicked. Look again with me at verses 14 through 17 and 19. This great warning, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And in verse 19, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Wisdom warns. Wisdom warns. As we saw early in the book, she cries out on the street. And she's warning us here. Don't go down the path of the wicked. Friend, what are you flirting with in your life that is on the path of evil? Or leading you to the path of evil? Are there things that you're flirting with, things that you're doing that you know are not right, or you know they're influencing you in a way toward evil and wickedness? God is warning you today. Don't go there. Turn. Turn from the wicked way. Avoid it. Just keep passing by. And these warnings are so strong because sometimes evil is so seductive. And we'll see that throughout the book. Evil is described in the terms of the most beautiful, alluring woman. Evil can be seductive. It looks really good on the outside. It looks like it's not going to hurt you. It looks like it's going to help you. You see. Friend, the most dangerous things in your life are not the ones that are most blatantly, obviously evil. They're not. The most dangerous things in your life are those that come to you as an angel of light, but are the devil in disguise. The most dangerous things in your life are those that come as wolves in sheep's clothing. And so we must be careful. We must be discerning. And these warnings come because there's danger. This is dangerous. It's dangerous to be on this path. It may feel good. You may be happy and excited about whatever you're doing. But friend, its end is death. No matter how good it feels right now, if it's not in accord and in submission to the Word of God, its end is death. And so we have these warnings. We're warned because they don't sleep. The wicked, those on the wicked path, those whom we're supposed to avoid, they don't sleep unless they make someone stumble. Did you notice that? Evil and sin and wickedness always make someone stumble. Sometimes people do things and say, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm doing this and it's not hurting anybody. Friend, you are. God is always the most offended party in your sin. So no matter what you're doing and you don't think it hurts anybody, it offends God. And friend, He's the one we must care most about. Not offending. And you're hurting yourself, and often evil causes others to stumble as well. Did you know that that if you're a church member here, when you are on the evil path, you're hurting your fellow church members. We're family. We're family. And when one part of the body does something wrong, it hurts everybody. It hurts everybody. And so you make people stumble. And these wicked are not happy. They can't get sleep unless they've made someone stumble. You see, they're doing wrong. They're doing evil. They're doing wickedness. And that's the opposite of loving your neighbor as yourself. That's the opposite of loving your neighbor as yourself, which we're called to by the Lord. And notice violence is often involved. Verse 17, they eat the bread of wickedness. They drink the wine of violence. They consume this evil. They consume, like eating and drinking, to do wickedness and to do violence, to hurt other people violently. And notice verse 19, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Often, evil and wickedness in the Bible is described by these terms: darkness, the absence of light. And notice that when you're in the dark, you don't know what's happening. You can't see. And they do not know over what they stumble. In one sense, the wicked, they don't know what they're doing. Sin for the unbeliever is like sticking your hand down into a dark hole. And it feels really good. You've gotten addicted to sticking your hand down in the hole because it just feels so good. And the hole is so beautiful, and something must be down there that's so nice. And then God turns the light on and you realize that you're sticking your hand down into a meat grinder that's mutilated your whole hand and arm. But you don't get it until God turns the light on. That's how sin is. It feels so good, looks so good, makes you so happy, and leaves you dead and meat grinded up and body mutilated. They don't know. It's in the dark. Or it's like a small furry animal in the dark that you love petting because in your mind you think it's a cute little puppy. And you just love petting the little puppy. But then the lights come on and you realize it's a massive deadly spider that's bitten you 20 times already and you're going to die. That's what sin is. It looks really good, feels really good, promises all kinds of comfort and help and security, but then slits your throat. Sin is deceitful. It promises small, fleeting pleasures, but its end is death. And week after week, I want to call myself and you to turn from these lesser pleasures, fleeting, deadly pleasures, and come drink deeply from the river of living water, the Lord Jesus. Come to the eternal pleasure. Come to Him where there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Come to Christ. The Son. Who will take the Son? If you remember from last week, take the Son. Come and find joy in Christ. And that Christ leads us on the path of the righteous. He is the preeminent righteous one through whom alone we can become righteous by faith in Him alone. And He went before us leading the path of righteousness. And we see in Proverbs 4, 18 and 20 through 27, we see the path of the righteous. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, For from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Did you notice as we read that God wants all of you? We've spoken about this before. God wants all of you. He talks about the sight, the eyes. He talks about the ear and the hearing. He talks about your speech and what you say. He talks about your heart. He wants it all. He wants it all. Be careful, little feet, where you go, children. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little heart, what you think and feel and desire and hope for. God wants all of you. And the path of the righteous is the path of light. Notice that in verse 18, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Light in the Bible describes purity. Purity, it points to purity and knowledge and the revelation of God. And those who walk in the right path are like this light. They're pure. They have knowledge. And they live according to it. They have the revelation from God and are obedient to it. Did you know God is described as light? Many of you probably have Psalm 27, the first few verses memorized. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And that's capital L-O-R-D. It's Yahweh, Jehovah. God Almighty is my light. 1 John 1:5, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And what does Jesus say about Himself? John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Oh, I love passages like that. They make me so happy. Yahweh is the light. Jehovah is the light. The God of the universe is the light. And Jesus is the light. Jesus is God Almighty. Amen. Oh, don't ever not get excited about that. Jesus is the light. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so we follow the light of the world, the God-man, Jesus. Whoever follows Him will not walk in darkness. You don't want to walk down the wrong path. You don't want to walk in the dark. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus, the light of the world. And as we trust Him, look to Him, believe in Him, He changes us, and we're the light of the world. Did you know that? Jesus said in Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world, believer. Dear Christian, disciple of Jesus, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's a biblical song. That's a biblical song. And so Jesus wants us to let our light shine. Christian, are you? Are you shining? Are you shining? Do your neighbors know you're a believer? Do your coworkers know you're a Christian? Do your Muslim friends know you're a believer? I got to have Thanksgiving with some of my Muslim friends from Fifth Street. Thank you for praying for that. A wonderful time to let your light shine and go and say, Jesus is God. Amen. They disagree, but I can still tell them. Brother McCoy was with us at the abortion clinic on Friday morning talking to everybody. Everybody. He was witnessing to the lady in... What is that called? I forget. What is that? Burka. He was witnessing to the lady in her burka about the Lord Jesus. Get to know Jesus. Not like we say we know Michael Jackson. Oh, I know Michael Jackson. I've got his CDs. I've heard his music. I've seen him on the news. No. Have you ever sat down and had tea with him? You talk to him in his house. You need to know Jesus, like personally, you see. And so we need to know him personally and shine our lights before everyone in the community. And so pray that God would give you an opportunity. Christmas is a wonderful time to do that. Oh, friend, don't get sidetracked by all the debates. Christmas, he wasn't really born there, and it's when Nisroch, the pagan god, was born. Okay, whatever. Use it to tell people about the true Jesus. We don't care when he was born. We're going to use this opportunity when most of our culture is celebrating this to give them truth about the risen Savior who can save their soul from hell. Use it. If you have family members, what are you going to give them? Are you going to give them another present that they already have five of and they don't need another? Or are you going to give them a book that might open their eyes to see the truth and beauty of Jesus and save them from eternal damnation? Think of Christmas strategically. Think of Easter, the other holiday people get up in arms about, strategically. Think of Halloween strategically to share the gospel with sinners who need salvation. And so think about that as you buy gifts this year. Share the gospel. Be a light. Notice we're told in verses 20 through 22, listen up. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Seven times Revelation says this. God's Spirit says this in Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Seven times. And friend, I am so helpless. We're so helpless to change anybody's heart. We can give books away. We can speak the gospel. I can yell and scream as loud as I want. But unless God's Spirit comes and penetrates your heart and my heart and unbelievers' hearts, it's vain. It's vain. And so may you who have an ear to hear, let the Spirit speak to you. May you get an ear. Be attentive. Be attentive to what wisdom is saying this morning, what Christ is saying this morning. There's life in wisdom. There's life in wisdom. There's healing in wisdom. There's safety in wisdom. There's salvation in God's wisdom. And this is probably the most famous verse of the chapter. Keep your heart. Keep your heart, verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. All good or evil will flow from our hearts. All the good that we ever do, think, say, or feel, or the evil that we do think or feel, will flow from our hearts. And friends, this is why when you read the Scripture, you realize how important it is to get a new heart. So in the Old Testament, God commanded, circumcise your hearts. He gives the new covenant promise. I will circumcise your heart. I will cut off the evil and the wicked, the bad, and give you a new heart. That's the promise of the new covenant, because the Bible says our hearts are wicked and desperately sick. Who can know them? We need new hearts. We must be born again. We must be born again. If you're here this morning and you're an unbeliever, I just again want to speak to you that we love you and we want you to come to know the Savior. And the first step to come to know Him is to realize that you've sinned and offended a good and a holy God. God gives you this wisdom. He gives you these laws not to shut the party down of life, but that you might have life and have it abundantly. And we all have turned our own way. We've sinned against the Lord. We've broken His laws and commandments. We've done what we want with our sex lives. We've done what we want with alcohol and drugs. We've done what we want with our mouths. We've done what we want with our money and our time and effort and our delight and what captivates our heart. We give our heart to so many other things and people more than God, and that's called sin. And God is angry about sin because He's good and He's righteous and He's holy. And friend, if you don't come to know the Savior, God will cast you into hell forever. Forever. There's no escape. And Jesus described it as the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire is not quenched and the worm does not die. It's a hard thing to think about. So much so, many people don't talk about it anymore. But Jesus talked about it more than anyone in the Bible combined. And we want to follow Jesus. And He did that because He loves sinners. He loves sinners, and He didn't want sinners to go there. And so, friend, come to the Lord. You see, God loves sinners. And He wants to save sinners. And so He sent Jesus into the world to live a perfectly righteous life. The God-man who never sinned, but obeyed the laws perfectly. He was tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. And He died on that cross where He suffered the wrath and torment and curse of God. And then rose up on the third day so that anyone, no matter what you've done, how bad you've been, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, what a Savior. That's the good news of the gospel. Friend, if you're here this morning and you've not repented of your sins and believed that gospel, I want to talk to you. There are other Christians who are members here who want to talk to you. Come to lunch next door and talk to us. We want you to know Him. We want you to be saved. We want to disciple you. And you can, by faith in the Redeemer's blood. And then He will change your heart. He will change your heart. All the things that you maybe right now find so exciting. You just can't imagine anything more exciting than an Xbox. You can't imagine anything more exciting than adult men playing with a ball on Sunday afternoon. Friend, I'm not saying that those things are bad and evil, but what I'm saying is there is something much greater and eternal and glorious and beautiful and sovereign and powerful that needs to captivate your heart. And if it hasn't, then the problem is not with the captivator, it's with the heart. He'll change your heart. And the heart is a way of describing the mind and the emotions, the will, the desires, the whole inner being. The heart is what defines you most. And we're commanded in this passage to keep our heart. Guard our heart, for from it flow the springs of life. Spurgeon put it this way: the heart is the reservoir of man, and our life is allowed to flow in its proper season. That life may flow through different pipes, the mouth, the hands, the eyes, but still all the issues of hands, of eyes, of lips derive their source from the great fountain and central reservoir, the heart. So what we do, what we say, what we look at, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we talk, all those things are going to flow from the heart. And we're commanded to keep our heart. Keep it. Watch over the heart. I love what Spurgeon says about keeping the heart. But how can I keep my heart full? How can my emotions be strong? How can I keep my desires burning and my zeal inflamed? Christian, there is one text that will explain all of this. All my springs are in You, O Lord, said King David. If you have all your springs in God, your heart will be full enough. If you go to the foot of Calvary, there your heart will be bathed in love and gratitude. If you often get along with God and there talk with your God, it is there that your heart shall be full of calm resolve. If you go out with your master to the Hill of Olivet and with him look down upon the wicked Jerusalem and weep over it with him, then your heart will be full of love for never dying souls. If you continually draw your impulse with him, then your heart will be full of love for the lost and for needy sinners. If you continually draw your impulse, your life, the whole of your being from the Holy Spirit, without whom you can do nothing, and if you live in close communion with Jesus, there will be no fear of your having a dry heart. He who lives without prayer, he who lives with little prayer, he who seldom reads the Word, he who seldom looks up to heaven for a fresh influence from on high, he will be the man whose heart will become dry and barren. But he who calls in secret on his God, who spends much time in holy retirement, who delights to meditate on the words of the Most High, whose soul is given up to Christ, who delights in His fullness, rejoices in His all-sufficiency, prays for His second coming, and delights in the thought of His glorious advent, such a man, I say, must have an overflowing heart. So that's what we want to do as believers. We want to spend time with our Lord in prayer and His Word and the communion of the saints, in thinking about lost souls and praying for more zeal for the lost. Keep your heart that way. Keep your heart that way. We're commanded in verse 24 to put away crooked speech. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. And again, our mouths will speak what's already in our heart. Sometimes we talk and we say things and we'll say, maybe we're talking with a spouse or a child, and we'll say things we really know we shouldn't say. We might say, "I didn't mean that. I'm sorry, I didn't really mean that." And really, what we probably ought to say is, "I meant that because my heart is wicked, and what I said flowed from my wicked heart. And I ask you to forgive me for the wickedness of my heart, and I'm praying to God to change my wicked heart." It's good to be honest with God. We don't have to. And see, we have a great Savior that we can be honest like that. We can just be honest with God about how bad we are. Like the man, the pastor who wrote a book about dating his wife, and he said, "I thought I was a real godly man, and then I got married and found out I'm a jerk." You see, we have a great Savior who takes away our sins, deals with our sins, and so we can be real honest with God about how wicked we are. Because we know He came for sinners. He came to die for the wicked. He came to change our hearts. We don't have to put false pretenses and makeup to cover our evil. We can just, "God, I said that because I'm wicked. I have a wicked heart." Like the child who visited their parents' friend and stole one of the coverings on the sofa. And his parents made him take it back and ring the doorbell and say, "I took this because I'm a thief." You can be honest. Because Jesus saves. He saves thieves who repent and believe in Him. The gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus. And so we know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34 through 36. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak." And so we're being warned here of things like gossip, slander, putting people down, lying. And God doesn't care if it's a white lie or what color of lie it is. Amen. Harming others with our words, cursing, foul language, using God's name in vain, evil jokes. We're being warned to turn from that kind of thing here. And the Proverbs is going to give us a lot more of that. And we're to focus on the right path. Verses 25 through 27. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. And so, friend, I simply want to end by asking, where are you headed? Where are you headed today? Especially those of you who are unbelievers, do you know where you're headed? Please turn. Please come to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says this, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And so, wisdom is crying out today in this portion of Scripture that we're studying, turn and take Christ. Take Christ. Because verse 11 in 1 Corinthians 6 says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The Son, who will take the Son? Will you take the Son today? Will you trust the Son today? Will you treasure the Son today? Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus is the only one, the preeminent one, the glorious one, the beautiful one, who walked the path of righteousness perfectly. He is the greatest light. His heart, His eyes, His ears, His feet, and everything else were always kept captivated by God alone. He is the spring of all life. But on that cross, Jesus was counted as the one who entered the path of the wicked and walked in the way of evil. He was counted as the one who did not avoid it, who did go on it, who did not turn away from it, and did not pass on. Jesus was counted as the one who got no sleep to make people stumble. He was counted as the one who ate the bread of wickedness and drank the wine of violence. He was counted as the one who was cast out. Actually, I misspoke. He was cast out. He was cast out by the Father. Darkness came over the land, if you remember, when He was on that cross and He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He was cast out into utter deep darkness. Because God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit love you. Love sinners. Died for sinners. And He rose from the dead. He didn't stay dead. He got up out the tomb and conquered sin, death, and hell. That's why we're here today and not Saturday. Because He rose up and He rules and reigns. And He's about, Christian, making you wise. He's about helping you walk the righteous path. He's about taking you by the hand and walking with you and will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, Jesus Christ will keep your heart. He's perfect from the very start. From righteous paths He won't depart. His speech is straight and clear and smart. In Him springs life that's off the chart. Jesus Christ is the righteous path. He's the only one who saves from wrath. So in His blood, come and take a bath and be cleansed from all your sin. He did not walk in the way of sin, for living water flows within. He's the holiest that's ever been. On Him no sin you'll ever pin. So walk with Him, you will always win. He is the heart keeper who crushed the grim reaper. He crushed the grim reaper. He reigns, He conquers. He's the heart keeper who crushed the grim reaper, the perfect righteousness seeker over Jerusalem weeper, the it's all gone sin sweeper. In Him there's no joy deeper and no glory ever steeper. And so we look to Him. We treasure Him. We trust in Him. We confess our sins to Him when we fall short and stray and come back to Him and cling to Him and be fixed on Him. Let's pray that God would do that in our hearts. Father, we want to have the wisdom of Christ. Lord, we want to be transformed by the Spirit of God. We want to live out this wisdom. We want to walk on the path of righteousness. And Lord, to do that, we want to be motivated by looking at our Savior. We want to be motivated by looking to Christ, by fixing our eyes on Him, by finding our joy and our delight in Him. Father, by learning from Him, by spending time with Him in the quiet places, by praising Him, praying to Him, reading His Word. So, Father, we pray You would take us more deeply into Christ, to know Him, Lord, to delight in Him. And God, we do pray again, if there's anyone here who does not know Him, we pray, Lord, that You would bring them to life today for Your glory, for Your honor, and for Your praise. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.